Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. If you'd like to join our writing community on Discord and get access to fantasy writing classes and books on Patreon, check the links in the description. And if you don't want to miss any future episodes, be sure to follow or subscribe. And to support the show, leave a quick rating on Spotify or iTunes and share this episode on social media or with anyone who you think may be interested. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the show. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today I'm delighted to be joined by the brilliant voiceover artist, Ethan Fifield. Ethan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Richie. Glad to be here.
Oh, thank you very much for joining me. I've been very much looking forward to having you on the show to talk all about audiobooks, because if you're listening at home, you may know that Ethan here did an absolutely amazing job on the audiobook of my novel, Cries Laments.
Well, thank you very much. I've really had a lot of fun with it. It's so much to play with in the story. It was a lot of fun to narrate all the different characters, the adventure they've had. It's well-written stuff.
Thank you. I mean, I've got a question for you later on about what you think audio adds to a story. But I could quickly say now that you really did bring that story to life in a way that I could never have really dreamed of, to be honest. And you nailed absolutely everything about it. And you took it to a whole new level. And I think that's what audiobooks can do, is that they can elevate stories. And you definitely nailed it with Cries Laments.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you liked it.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to be talk about that a bit more shortly. But before we dive in, I just wanted to talk more about facts and figures about audiobooks, because obviously they had a big boom during the pandemic, and it was quite interesting to see whether that would have carried on, because plenty of fads sprung up and died when we were all in lockdown. So I've done a bit of research, got some facts and figures, interesting as well. These are all from Deloitte, and they're all pretty recent as well, looking at 2024. And I just want to share some of these facts and figures with you, get your thoughts and opinions on them. But I also want to put into perspective how big audiobooks are now, because it is pretty amazing how much they've sprung up in popularity. So here's some facts. I'll put the link in the description for anyone who wants to have a little look. So audiobook listenership is growing 15% year on year, even after the pandemic. So that's pretty impressive. 15% is huge when you look at the numbers. And globally, it's estimated that about 270 million people a month are going to listen to audiobooks. It's well over a billion a year. And Deloitte predicts that audiobooks are going to account for approximately 6% of total book sales worldwide. And that is representing a 26% year-on-year increase in sales. And that equates to about $7 billion in global revenue, which is, that's a lot of money.
That extra reach is amazing. I'm not surprised that people didn't, you know, put audiobooks down after they picked them up in the pandemic, but just hearing how many people they're getting to, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's huge. It's and just in the US alone, this year, 2024, audiobooks are expected to outsell ebooks for the first time. So that's pretty big. Ebooks, everyone was going crazy for them a few years ago, and now audiobooks have pipped into the post. I mean, just to give you an idea, more of a sort of a real example, I was reading this the other day. Spotify literally plunged themselves into debt because they spent so much money buying the audiobook rights for 200,000 audiobooks. So if Spotify, who is like the market leader, if they're investing so much money in audiobooks, it's just clearly indicative of the way the industry and the market's going. Yeah. So Ethan, as an audiobook artist, what do you think about this?
Just the number of people is what it keeps coming back to for me. It's exciting to think that we've got that many people out there picking them up. I suppose I'm not sure what it is about the pandemic in particular that made that the kickoff point to really pick up stories in that fashion, but I do get why they've kept going strong and just. I know you've got a question later on about it, so we can get into what I think the audio or what I think the audio element brings to a story later, but it's just exciting to see that growing and what it means for just the amount of the audience you can reach with a story.
Yeah.
It puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It wasn't long ago we were thinking that books were on the way out. And now the variation in form and having people like yourself bringing new angles to stories, I think is that's a really special thing. Because people connect with things in different ways, don't they? I mean, we said we'd save that question for later, but let's dive into it now. I mean, what do you think
Absolutely.
audio brings to the story then? Why do you think they're so popular?
Ah, there's a couple of big thoughts for me, I know, and one of them is I don't think you can really overstate the importance of just increased accessibility to the story. If
Yeah.
you've got an audiobook, you don't necessarily have to be sat down reading it, or whether that be with a paper copy or looking at your Kindle for an ebook, you can be driving somewhere. You can be at work. You can have your hands busy and some earbuds in and
Yeah.
just listen to the book on your own time. So all of a sudden, there's a great many more spaces where you can enjoy where you can enjoy the story on your time.
Yeah.
The other thing I know, at least when I think about reading on paper myself, because I do have a lot of fun with that. One thing the audio element adds, this kind of turns into a question, but like, have you ever sat down with a story and just found yourself kind of reflexively reading it out loud, doing the character voices and whatnot?
Yeah, sometimes,
But
yeah.
no. Yeah, and just having that voice, it helps add some impetus, I suppose, behind the words. It can give it pacing and
Yeah.
momentum, and that is harder to get if you're just reading the words off the page yourself.
Yeah, I can relate to
And
this actually because I'll read a lot of Ian Rankin. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books, but they're all about a police officer, the Inspector Rebus. He's called Inspector Rebus. But he's based in Edinburgh and it's all Scottish. So I read in like just in my normal head accents or whatever. But sometimes, like you say, you realize, especially when they start putting accents or certain words in, it's meant to be read in this particular way. So you start do playing around with it, and it's a different experience, like you say, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And sometimes it helps make more sense of things than they did before. I'm looking past your shoulder. I'm seeing the Rohan
Oh,
picture
yeah.
on the
There
wall
you go.
and thinking myself to the Silmarillion because it's one of my favorite things that I've read of Tolkien. And
Yeah.
admittedly, it tries to take this mythological tone, and it doesn't sound maybe as much, especially like The Hobbit, as something you might hear people saying on the street.
Yeah.
But if you put the character's words out there in a voice, they suddenly feel a lot easier to understand. And that is, I've done some work with Shakespeare as well. That is just something I feel. Almost any text can gain a little bit of clarity when you put a voice behind it.
Oh yeah, it's with Shakespeare. I completely agree with you there because whenever I never studied Shakespeare at school, and I know this about the stories, but I've never read them. So I was in a charity shop, bought all the volumes because I found a really nice copy and it was that cheap. And I was reading them and I was like, this is a bit hard work. But then I went to see Macbeth, and it was the first time I'd ever been to a Shakespeare play. And it was amazing. And like you say, it's completely different because you've got that person reading it out or and acting it and performing it for you and showing you the emotions.
Well, yeah, and I mean, especially with Shakespeare, that's made to be put on its feet. If you
Yeah.
still got that book, a recommendation,
Yeah.
just get together with your friends, assign parts, even just sitting around, everybody reading a character. Gain
Yeah.
so much, kind of what some early table work stuff and rehearsals looks like. But I'm sorry, that's That's way off topic.
Nice. Do you think it could be like a more of a natural way of enjoying a story? If you think about like the way when we're younger, we grow up, we can't read, and we're getting told stories, read stories by people on a sort of like a sort of natural level, we are sort of fed a lot of stories orally. Do you think there's like an element of us preferring that means of receiving a story?
I've definitely always wondered about the delineation between artificial and natural, but I think you're right. Orally is the first way that we're told a lot of stories. It's the older storytelling medium going back down through human history. I think it's just the way that we're more used to conveying information, even if these days the gap between hearing things and being taught to read them is not quite as long as once it might have been.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing all this audio stuff. So, how did you get into it all? Where did it all begin for you, Ethan?
Ah, well, as far as actual audio work goes, it came out of, long story short, I had finally, gotten into a theater program, admitted that was what I wanted to do with my life. And, you take some vocal training as part of that. It had finally started to click for me. I was really having a lot of fun with it. Got a lot more talkative as a result because my voice was, getting better at projecting, generally more sonorous, for lack of a better word, as I figured out what to do with it. And somebody told me about that time, you've got a great voice. You could do like dispatch or voiceover work, which I'm sure, they must occasionally say to anybody, but I decided to look on into it. I started doing some research, figured out what equipment I was going to need, a few good places to look for work. ACX is one that I got recommended by a classmate pretty early on. I started auditioning around, started learning the ins and outs of my equipment and editing software, which I kind of wish I had sought more guidance on than I did early on, because you do anything, you slowly get better at it, and you look back on your earlier efforts and wish you knew some of the stuff you learned later. But I digress. I think I'm about nine audiobooks down the line from there. I feel like I've learned a bit, and I know I have much more to go. So that's the short version of the story.
Nice. You have got a brilliant voice. Is that something that people have always said?
Definitely not. I mean, you get me in person, I'm generally a much quieter, shyer sort. Not really comfortable with large crowds of people. I will happy to be there, but I'll probably be hanging out on the fringe of it. And it wasn't until I engaged with theater that I started to get. I digress, the two don't really seem terribly connected, but suffice to say, I used to hold my voice a lot more in the throat, kind of in vocal fry territory. And as part of my theatrical education, I learned to, breathe from the diaphragm, as it were, really use all the space in my mouth, and generally bring my voice out a lot more than I used to.
It's a great thing. I don't know. It sort of warms my heart to know that it's something that you can learn because I'm someone who's always struggled a little bit with oral communication. I actually was terrified of reading anything aloud, especially my own writing. But I was luckily, I've got a friend who I met on a writing course. He was an actor and he taught me some different exercises that I can follow just to, like, say, project your voice, just to train yourself to slow down, breathe, when to, like, how to read stuff out in a way that isn't gonna ruin the story and put everyone off.
Oh, definitely. And just, Linklater at all, that I'd imagine some of the exercises might have come from there. Suffice to say, there's a lot of, you've been taught it all at this point, I suppose.
Not for
Plenty of plenty of physical exercises, mental exercises just to warm up the whole instrument, as it were, because, voice at some level is a full body instrument.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it's something they should definitely teach in schools because it's such a powerful thing. Like, I feel like we were talking about this recently, in work, and we were saying that American people seem to be, well, they just are a lot better at communicating. They're a lot more open and direct, and they're not afraid to sort of say something in front of a crowd, whereas British people will just like mutter and mumble and just like bitch and moan behind people's backs about things. They would just be like, wouldn't say it. And like, I think, I don't know if you're exposed to it more in schools or whether it's encouraged more, but you're just better at it. So, but I think it
As
should
someone
be,
who relates a lot to that get up and mutter thing, I can't really comment. I credit the various theater programs that I've been fortunate to be part of for a lot of such skill as I do have at communicating. And unfortunately, over here, those programs do sometimes get the short end of the stick where funding is concerned. So I think it's something that we too need to work on teaching, maybe a little more even than we do.
It's good. It's just an important thing to be able to communicate, and as writers, we can do it with our words. But obviously, when we want to start getting our stuff out there, we've got to go to conventions or go to bookstores and do sign-ins and stuff, and we need to be able to communicate confidently. So yeah, I think it's great that that it's something that you can learn. So you've done 9 audiobooks, and Prize Lament was one of them, luckily. I was very, very happy when you agreed that you'd do the audiobook for Prize Lament.
Well, I was excited to get the opportunity. It looked like good stuff.
Very kind.
Just that sample with Edvar at this with Edvar running for the keep at the top of the book. I didn't understand how urgent the situation was until I saw the full thing, but it does pull you in.
Oh, nice. That's good to know. So what's it like, the experience then of working with publishers and authors? You've got a good bit of experience in this now. Is it all quite similar? Is everything easy going? Is it nice and smooth, or is it full of challenges? What's it like being a voiceover artist?
I honestly don't feel comfortable making any blanket statements about this. I've only got a handful of, I don't imagine 9 to be a whole lot of books, honestly. But in my experience, I've been very fortunate to work with publishers who were, very broadly chill about the whole process. Everybody seemed happy and excited to be working together, and they were very clear with feedback. It's honestly been, it's been very relaxed, very chill, and I count myself very fortunate in that regard.
I suppose it depends on the nature of the project, doesn't it? Like when you were doing Prize Lament, like we didn't really speak at all, did we?
No, and I do apologize for that. There
Hey, it
were,
was not your fault. It's just like
oh, it's.
it wasn't really necessary because we had the publisher and we were going through them. So it was, and that worked fine.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, but at the same time, I could understand if somebody had been looking for, say, weekly updates, that would have been not as much a thing. I was sure to chime in when I got a piece of the process done. Hey, here's the first 15 minutes. Hey, everything has been narrated. Hey, it's all edited. Here's the full, I don't want to say manuscript, but here's all of the files. And there wasn't a lot in between that. And so Justin was very easygoing about that, but I also would understand, if a publisher was looking for a weekly update or whatnot, because there was a long period of silence, and that doesn't work as well for everyone, I suppose.
I know, I imagine some people, especially who are quite those who are quite married to the project, they'll be they treat it like a baby, don't they? So they'll be wanting to make sure it's in good hands, things are progressing. But that's why trust is so important, isn't it?
Yeah. And honestly, I'd be happy to work with that, because as the as the narrator, I want the same sort of thing. I want to be sure the project looks good. If I've got questions, like if I've got a question about whether or not I'm portraying something as you would like it to be seen,
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to ask and pick your brain about it and just see what you think.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's the way it should be as well, because you want to get things right. I mean, what was it like for you when it came to pitching? So if anyone out there who's wanting to work with an audiobook artist, what kind of a process is involved in terms of like getting the pitches in, advertising the project? What's the whole shebang like?
As far as advertising the project?
Yeah, so getting started, really. Like, how did you sort of pitch for the book? What made you pitch for it? Was there something about the project that you sort of liked the sound of?
Well, I'm a big fan of science fiction, fantasy literature in general. I really loved having the sample there on ACX just to give it a chance, or give a chance to read through it, because
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a sense of the sort of stories where my voice usually does particularly well. And a
Nice.
lot of the stuff that I've done, not all of it, has been sci-fi, fantasy, or thriller work, the sort of thing where you can put in a little bit of a rasp to the voice, speak slower, and provide a solid baseline narration for any characters you may branch off and do. And so
Nice.
Pariah's Lament just seemed like a fun story to narrate, and it seemed like something that might work out well with that sort of voice. I
Yeah.
recorded it, sent it on in, and I'm happy to say it seems to have piqued your interest.
Yeah, well, from my perspective of the process, I mean, that's what I was looking for. It was the someone whose voice matched the vibe of the story. And you got it. It's like quite a, like I say, gritty, quite a, it's quite a gritty story. A lot of action in it, a lot of fighting, a lot of dramatic
Oh,
moments.
definitely.
And you want someone who's gonna, like I say, elevate it. That it lends the voice lends itself to the story. It takes it to the new level. And that's really important, I think, when you're looking for an audiobook. A voiceover artist for your audiobook, I think that has got to be one of the biggest considerations.
Oh, yeah. And as far as on my side of the process, I suppose one of the best pieces of advice I ever got about narration is imagine you do want to work to elevate the story, just because imagine that you've got someone else in the booth there with you and you're reading it to them.
Yeah.
So
That's a good way
you
to
want
look
to
at
make
it.
it exciting for this hypothetical audience and for the real audience that comes after that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, what's it like then, the process? You mentioned before about getting the equipment and stuff and getting to grips with the editing. I mean, how long
Oh.
does that take to master? I mean, I know you said you're always learning something as well. Like, I'm always learning something new with writing. And I don't think you can
Exactly.
ever really be satisfied that you know it all, but tell us a bit about that process.
Like you said, I would make no claim to mastery, or you know, to be, 'cause everybody has their own idea, or everyone has their own way of working. But what I have been able to do with the books I've narrated so far is, once I've got the project and I've got a manuscript, I'll try to take about a week, less if I can, depends on the size of the book, and just read through everything once by myself. I'll get a feel for the story, just see what arcs the characters are on, who they are, who they become. I'll just sit and read parts of it out loud, try on different possible voices, like could they possibly sound like when the time comes to record.
Yeah.
Once we've got that set, once all of those questions have been answered, we sit down and properly record the book. And that can take, depending on the size of the project, can take a week or three to get through. So that's just sitting down, reading everything out. No worries about editing at this phase, outside of usually the first 15 minutes, which I try to turn back as a sample, so I can say, like, here's what I'm doing with the work. Are you sure this is a good fit?
Yeah.
I always hope so, but you know, got to give that opportunity.
Yeah.
And outside of that, just read everything through. If I drop a line, don't stop anything. We just go back, say the line again. Take a deep breath in there somewhere so that there's space and you can clip that line out when you get to the editing after the whole book is done. And that is the part of the process that takes, depending on how busy life away from the microphone gets, I have had it take months to get through editing and editing a book based on the size of it. So I'll go through, reduce any audio artifacts in the background of the narration. Just clip out anything that doesn't read right. Make notes of what needs to be re-recorded and then add those back in where necessary. Once all that's done, we export the files, get them out of Audacity, which is the program I use for recording, and into MP3 format. And I usually work with ACX. Once everything's edited, I'll upload those to the site, hit their button that says I've done, and send a message the rights holder's way to let them know, hey, I've gone through the book. I've made all of the edits I could find. This is the finished product after one round of edits. Do you have anything that needs to be changed? And if they send anything back, I go ahead, copy those notes down, go in and make those changes, pop it on back to them, see if they have anything more. That goes back and forth as many rounds as it needs, kind of unchanged. Well, the process is unchanged. There will be changes to the work as many times as needs to happen. Once that's all done, it's good to submit to ACX for quality control. And of course, we fix anything that they kick back our way. But if all is good to go, next step after that is the book coming up for sale, usually on Audible, iTunes, and Amazon.
So, just I wanted to ask you, for anyone who's not familiar, because we've mentioned it a few times, ACX, could you tell us a bit about this platform?
Sure. So ACX is an Amazon-affiliated platform. It's the Audiobook Creative Exchange, and it's a place where authors who are looking for voiceover artists to narrate their books can meet and network with voiceover artists who are looking for work to lend their voice to. So
Nice.
what it usually looks like from my side is there's a space on the site where projects that need a voiceover artist will be posted. They've usually got a picture of the book, its title, quick summary of what's going on in it, and any particular qualifications that the rights holder is looking for in a narrator.
Yeah.
And so you can browse through that, find something that you'd be interested in narrating, something that looks like it might be looking for you.
Yeah.
And you can record an audio sample, submit that as an audition, send a quick message to the rights holder if you've got any questions or if you just want to say hello. And then once that's sent in, you wait to hear back from them. Usually they can message you through the platform. And if you've found a project to audition for and the rights holder likes what you bring to it, they'll send an offer. ACX acts as a platform that you can upload your finished narration files to and just package the book more or less so it's ready to be put up as an
Nice.
audiobook available through a variety of different sites. And
Nice.
iTunes, Audible, and Amazon are the ones that I've been able to get mine out through.
Nice. I heard Spotify had introduced their own sort of audiobook creation platform.
Ooh,
I don't know if
nice.
you've come across that.
I haven't yet, but
No.
sounds like something I need to go find. You
Yeah,
have
I
a
don't know
name?
whether it's like I think they have the name actually. I don't know whether it's like an exclusive thing that you have to do. Like you can't use like Amazon, but then that wouldn't really make sense because you're sort of cutting out your biggest market, aren't you?
Oh,
But
well.
yeah, it's It's called Audiobook Creation Service for Authors. Nice and
Ah,
original. Spotify's
hey.
Audiobook Creation Service for Authors. But
All
apparently
right.
it's better. I think they only take 20%.
Well,
Well,
hey.
no, I think you get 20% as the oh, I don't know. But it's just better. It's a better rate. That's what I've heard.
Well, I
So
should
yeah,
thank
have a look
you.
into
Learned
that. Have
something
a
new
look into
today.
that. Yeah, we'll have a little look into that one. So, what advice would you have for anyone who's thinking about maybe working with a voiceover artist for their audiobook? What do you think they should keep in mind in terms of like expectations and what the process involves?
In terms of expectations, it's well, like I say, I can only speak about my own experience, I suppose. Just that certain parts of the process do take a great deal of time, editing especially,
Yeah.
and depending on what's going on in your voiceover artist's life, that can sometimes change how quickly the work is done. So I know there are some folks who have got this working out to be doing it for a living, and then there's other folks like me who have not quite got to that point yet, who may still have a job they're working on during the day or seasonal commitments. Like I work with the Shakespeare Company, advice to the players. Those sort of things can slow down the process a bit. For said author or for said, rights holders and the narrators too, I'd say communicating, especially in advance as you can, about what delays might be expected is a good step to take just as early in the process as possible.
Yeah, keeping the open communication.
Absolutely.
I was like, no one
Find you
gets
can
annoyed.
usually get through a lot so long as you have that.
Definitely, yeah. I know it does take time as well. I think that's one of the benefits of having you on here is to get across the perspective of what it's actually like to edit these things. I mean, like I moan about editing this podcast. That takes me like a couple of hours. That you're editing an audiobook, which could be hours and hours and hours. So
Yeah,
it's,
it depends on the length of the copy you're working with, right?
yeah, exactly. So it is important for writers to be aware of like the time frames and stuff like that. You're not going to get an audiobook in a week.
I'm usually not. I mean, if it
yeah,
was very short, maybe.
yeah. And in terms of like the contracts and stuff that you can do, because I know there's audiobooks are expensive if you're paying straight up for them, aren't they? But I know there's different deals you can work out and to make it more accessible, I suppose, but also more of a doable and realistic project for everybody. So what kind of arrangements can you sort of strike with voiceover artists?
The various arrangements I've seen, and I've done a lot of my work through ACX. I know there's some folks who pay a fixed rate per finished hour, which is not necessarily the same as worked hours, but like you get, I've seen projects listed going anywhere from $50 to $400 per finished hour of audio that you put out.
Yeah.
And so that'd be one of the more immediately expensive forms, I suppose, of getting the work done. There's also arrangements based on a share of the royalties from audiobook sales. And I know that's the sort of thing we did with Pariah's Lament. It's what I've
Yeah.
done with a lot of my work thus far.
Nice.
Those are the main two that I'm really aware of, but I'm sure there's more to it.
Yeah, no, it's I think the royalty share is good because it, like you say, if you could be paying thousands of pounds, and a lot of like indie authors and upcomers just don't have the budget, do they? So it's
Yeah.
and or like say audio is becoming so popular, so agreeing a fair royalty share, I think is good for everyone. But what's your perspective of a royalty share? Are you, I know being someone who gets paid royalties that if the publisher doesn't do a lot of promotion, then the books don't really sell, and then you don't really get any royalties. So it does depend a lot on who you work with.
There certainly is that if the book doesn't really sell, you usually won't end up pulling much away in royalties. And sometimes, well, it does mean you have to pick up other work sometimes, but just having that as a passive income can be nice too. especially the more books you get behind you. I feel like it's probably the sort of thing that gets, I just said what I was going to, but the sort of thing that gets better the more you've done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. One last question I had for you is, as someone who started out yourself and I've trained yourself to do this, and what advice have you got for anyone who's always wanted to do audiobooks or is thinking about doing an audiobook of their own story?
Of their own, well, as trite and general as this kind of feels to say, I think the first thing I would say, the thing I wish someone had said to me, is just go for it. Is, from my experience, I spent so long hemming and hawing over pursuing any sort of performance arts as career. Like, would I really want to do this? Is it practical? And a lot of assumptions. Is this practical? What do I have as a fallback? That kept me out of it, kept me from admitting what I wanted to do for so long. And I do regret that now, you know, like, I wish I'd started earlier.
Yeah.
So I would just say, don't talk yourself out of it. If you think this is something you want to try, go for it. And whether or not it leads to a bunch of money or not, you will have told a story, and I think you'll be happier for it. On the more technical side, a couple of the best pieces of advice I ever got from one of my voiceover, or one of the folks I was fortunate enough to learn from, Bruce Cronenberg. One of them talked about earlier here. When you're narrating an audiobook, imagine it as you're telling a story to someone, a family member, a younger cousin if you want, and just like tell that story to excite them and draw them in, whoever they are.
Yeah.
The other thing, and I suppose this is more for people who might be coming to it from a theater background, is you will be sitting quite close to your mic. You might have 7 to 10 inches between you and the pop filter. You don't need to project as much as you might on stage. It's
nice.
Silly, but it's one of the things that has taken me more time to adapt to than anything.
Well, that's some brilliant advice there in an especially inspiring voice. So if that hasn't moved you to get going, I don't know what can. Ethan, it's been an absolute pleasure to chatting with you. Thank you so much for giving up your time.
Well, thank you for having me, Richie. It's been good to finally see you and to
definitely
talk about all of
this. For listeners, this is actually the first time we've spoken, which goes to show, gives you a bit of an idea of the process, that you don't always meet your voiceover artist. It just depends how the publisher decides to work it. The publisher might turn around and say, all right, you two just do it. We're not going to get involved. You two just do it. But it just goes to show you could still achieve a brilliant result, even if you don't get to communicate as much as you might think you would need to for an audiobook. You work with the right person. A lot of trust as well.
We should thank Justin as well.
Yeah, definitely. Just good a big shout out goes to Justin. Definitely, yeah. Where's the best place for us to look if anyone wants to learn a bit more about you?
That is an excellent question. I'm terrible at the advertising part of this. So it's probably the best place to look and find out more about me would be my ACX profile. You can learn a little more about the books I've narrated in the past. And honestly, if you listen to the samples, get a good sense of my progression through this art form.
Yeah. Well, if you need a good voiceover artist, there's one right here.
And a writer on the other end of the line.
Ethan, thank you very much again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you, Richie. Glad to be here.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. If you'd like to join our writing community on Discord and get access to fantasy writing classes and books on Patreon, check the links in the description. And if you don't want to miss any future episodes, be sure to follow or subscribe. And to support the show, leave a quick rating on Spotify or iTunes and share this episode on social media or with anyone who you think may be interested. Thank you very much for listening.